On behalf of the General Convention Committee, who consists of brothers Obi Elbert, Byron Keith, Ernie Kensley, Peter Mora, and myself, we welcome all of you to this special 2020 General Convention Echoes broadcast. Now, we already had a little glitch this morning, and it was no one's fault that this happened. For some reason, two different meeting rooms were set up unknowingly, and some went to one meeting room and some went to another meeting room. We believe that this is resolved, and hopefully those who were in the other meeting room have all now made it over to this meeting room, and we apologize. This was not any fault of anyone who may have been on the other meeting room. It was just something in the background that didn't work quite right. So we apologize for that, but hopefully we get our glitches out of the way early, and we thank Brother Brian for taking care of the devotions for us this morning. Thank you, Brother Brian, and thank you, Brother Michael, for your chairmanship today. 81 years ago, in 1939, the General Convention era, as we now know it, began at Epworth Forest on Lake Webster in northeastern Indiana. The dates were August 2nd through the 6th. Now, initially, the convention was known as the Bible Students Midwest General Convention. The convention committee at that time was made up of four elders, two each from the Chicago class and the Pittsburgh class, which at that time were the two largest classes in the Midwest part of the country. Now, at the end of that convention, those who attended it enthusiastically desired to have a similar gathering the next year in 1940. And so it has continued in the 80 years since that the General Convention of attendees have desired each year to have a similar gathering of the Lord's people. And whoever the members of the committee have been at these times, at the end of each year's convention, they have begun planning for the next one. Now, in the 80 years since the Epworth Forest Convention, through last year's gathering in Moscow, Idaho, there have only been 3 years, and I originally thought it was two, but it was three years in which the General Convention was not able to be held, 1943, 1945, and 1946. And those, as you might guess, were due to World War II and its aftermath. Well, last year, 2019, as the General Convention drew to a close on the beautiful campus of the University of Idaho, the Convention Committee once again began to discuss plans for the 2020 convention to be held at the University of Pittsburgh in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, on the dates which would have begun today, July the 18th. The committee continued to plan throughout the fall and winter months, and even as late as early March of this year, just 4.5 months ago, we compiled a program for this year's convention. Well, as we all know, shortly after that, the world's situation drastically changed, and the COVID-19 pandemic was upon us. In mid-April, after discussions with the conference director at the university in Johnstown, and in consultation with numerous brethren, the convention committee made a decision which had not been made in 74 years, since 1946, and that was that the 2020 convention would not be able to be held in person or on site. Now, I was not around in 1946. It was 5 years later that I came into the world. But I can imagine that there was a measure of disappointment in that year, as well as in 1945 and 1943, measure of disappointment that the brethren had, that they were unable to have a general convention due to circumstances out of their control, just as is the case this year. how they must have missed the anticipated fellowship and the drawing aside from the cares of life, as well as the spiritual food that would have surely been served had the convention been held. Add to this the fact that during that four-year period, during the mid-1940s, only one general convention was held. I'm confident, however, that the brethren then viewed the matter just as from the same standpoint as our master viewed experiences in his life. And you recall when he petitioned the Heavenly Father the night before his death, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." You know, when the General Conventions resumed again in 1947 and in every year since through last year, the reports that have been handed down to us indicate that there has been a great enthusiasm for this way of meeting together each and every year in a General Convention format. And so here now in the year 2020, I know we all feel a similar measure of disappointment that we cannot meet in person on the beautiful campus of Johnstown, or as we did last year in the setting in Moscow. Yet we know that the Lord is permitting a different experience for us this year, not just with this general convention, but with other conventions, and even within many of our own local ecclesias. But you know, the Lord always provides. It's interesting that in 1946, although there was no general convention that year, there were many local and regional conventions throughout the country that I'm sure many had the opportunity of attending. I was looking back through some of the archived issues of the 1946 Dawn magazine, and in the months of June, July, and August, no less than 34 conventions were held during that time. So yes, the Lord provided. Well, what about 2020? Circumstances are different in a couple of noteworthy ways. First, right now there are almost no in-person conventions being held and haven't been since early to mid-March. And the likelihood is great that few in-person conventions will be held in upcoming months. This is a completely different scenario than in 1946, and on the surface, it may seem to be a much worse situation as far as in-person on-site gatherings are concerned. But there is another big difference between this year and 1946, one which we could say has come about just in the last few years. It was just 7 years ago that a new video conferencing service was launched. You didn't know its name then, but you know what it is now. It's called Zoom. And although Zoom began in 2013, for most of us, it was probably something unknown and unfamiliar until just either the last couple of years or maybe even just the last few months. Well, needless to say, everyone who is tuned into this broadcast, and I would venture to say probably a majority of brethren around the world, know exactly now what Zoom is. And in fact, are using it in or some other similar service as a means of gathering together in ecclesia meetings or in conventions or in young people's meetings, in various Bible student committee meetings, and in other meetings for fellowship and activity. And so we say again, the Lord provides. He provided in 1946 in those years, and he has provided now in 2020. Not in the same way, but in exactly the way that the Heavenly Father sees will fit the needs of the brethren in each set of circumstances. What a loving and wise Heavenly Father we have. His ways and his thoughts, as the scriptures say, are much higher and far-seeing than our ways. He is always way out ahead of us, isn't he? Both in our personal consecrated lives and in our larger fellowship among the brotherhood. You know, we plan, and rightly so, for tomorrow, for next month, for next year. Always, though, with the understanding that the Lord may overrule, that there is to be some change in our plans. And we have to be submissive to that. The Lord, well, the Lord, unlike us, plans for eternity. He plans for eternity in all aspects of his great domain of the universe. But he especially has plans for the eternity of his human creation, in which, as the Apostle Paul says, it is God's stated purpose of having all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. And of course, as in a very important part of this, and not the least of God's plans, he is putting into motion and does so each day his eternal purposes for us, his consecrated children. He knows exactly what we need. He knows when we need it. And he knows what is our experience's eternal benefit that is designed for us. You know, we may not and probably did not know much about the possibility of meeting in a manner such as Zoom until about 4 or 4.5 months ago. But the Lord knew about it long before that and overruled that it might be available for our use at a time when it would be especially beneficial to us. Now, does Zoom or any other online service take the place of person-to-person, one-on-one fellowship? Does it take the place of the heartfelt love and joy that we feel when surrounded by others of like precious faith? Does it take the place of intimate person-to-person fellowship around a meal table or in the living room of one another's homes or in the lobby of the LLC or the Pittman Center in Moscow? Does it take the place of attending conventions in person or being involved with putting on and sponsoring conventions? Does it take the place of the fellowship which our children, our grandchildren, and our young people so much enjoy when they have the opportunities to gather together in conventions during which they make lifelong friends? Our answer to all of these questions is certainly not. Nothing can replace these blessed arrangements, which, as we know, have been the experience of the brotherhood going back to the days of the early church. You know, we recall these words from Acts, the second chapter, which were recorded shortly after the day of Pentecost. Reading beginning with verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And all that believed were together. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. You know, those brethren in the days of the early church enjoyed a beautiful arrangement of personal fellowship and communion. And we know that it was as a result of the work of the early church that the local ecclesia arrangement was established. And it has continued to be the Lord's method of operation of gathering his people together, even down to this very day during the harvest. So that, as the Apostle Paul states in Hebrews 10:25, that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. No, nothing can take the place of face-to-face, one-on-one fellowship and meeting together in person. Yet, as circumstances are at the present time, we realize that it is unsafe and unwise for us to meet together, especially in large groups, as we would like, even in our own ecclesia meetings and, of course, at conventions. And so even though an online gathering such as this would likely not be our first choice, yet we believe it is far better than having no interaction among the brotherhood. And you know, although there may be a relatively small percentage of brethren who may not have access to an online meeting option, that percentage is getting smaller and smaller, isn't it? The vast majority of our brethren do have access to this, and we're thankful for that provision of the Lord. You know, I can't speak of the experiences of around other parts of the country or the world or other classes, but I will say this. Here in the Orlando Ecclesia, we've been meeting via Zoom now for just over 4 months. And we have had numerous brethren tuning into our online meetings who are well up into their 80s and 90s. And they are doing so with minimal difficulty. And this is just amazing and such a blessing. We have also been blessed to have brethren join us from other parts of the country who are either isolated or who are not having ecclesia meetings at the present time, or who, because of just the time difference, can tune in to our meetings or other meetings before theirs begins. We have had brethren join our online meetings from Canada, from South America, from Europe, and from Africa, sometimes in the middle of the night, their time. This has all been a wonderful blessing. Now, I think I speak on behalf of those in our class that, you know, when I ask the question, do we want to get back to our usual meeting place at the Masonic Lodge or in the homes of our brethren? Absolutely, yes. We look forward to that time. We miss those venues and the closeness of fellowship that we enjoy there. But we have to wait on the Lord for that. And in the meantime, we are receiving extra special blessings from our Heavenly Father by way of this present provision which He has provided. The Lord is providing. By the way, I just want to mention at this point, since I mentioned our class, I do want to bring the love and the greetings of the Orlando Ecclesia, and hopefully most of our brethren are on or will be on during the course of this broadcast over the next 5 days. I also want to bring the love. I have a standing commission to bring the love of the Dawn family of brethren scattered around this country and Canada and in many parts of the world. They all send their love. And I bring the love of my wife, Debbie, who is not, you're not seeing on the screen, but she is sitting here close by. Do we desire to meet in person next year at the General Convention as we had hoped and planned to do this year starting today? We see again, certainly we do hope so. And we desire so. The convention committee, as it does every year, will soon begin planning for having our usual on-site convention in 2021 with the hope of going to Johnstown, which we were unable to do this year. But we will plan for this knowing that the entire matter is in the Lord's hands. And we will seek to follow the indications of His will. And we are fully confident that He will direct these issues just as He did this year and just as He did in the 1940s and as He does in all aspects of our consecrated walk, knowing that the Lord provides. Well, what about today and the next 5 days? You know, we've talked a little bit about the past. We've talked about the current situation the last several months, and we've touched a little bit on the future, which we don't really know. But what is the Lord providing us today, July the 18th, the very day that many of us had planned to be walking into the auditorium in Johnstown, Pennsylvania? Well, shortly after the General Convention Committee made the decision that an online in-person convention would not be able to be held this year, we discussed the possibilities of what we might offer in its place. Different ideas were suggested and discussed, and after prayerful consideration, the committee decided to have an online broadcast of 5 days, beginning today and lasting through next Wednesday evening. We're calling this broadcast the 2020 General Convention Echoes Broadcast. Now, this convention over the next 5 days will be somewhat unique in that it will include both live features as well as a sampling of services from each of the previous 6 years' general conventions from 2014 through last year, 2019. And we might mention that, many of you hopefully have received one or more emails over the past week, which contains a link to the program for these next 5 days. And we hope you will follow along. And I'll just mention the General Convention website where you can view or print out this program if you desire, BibleStudentsGeneralConv.org. No spaces. BibleStudentsGeneralConv.org. And it's possible that during the course of our broadcast, we may be able to also put a link to the program in the chat window. We'll see how that goes. Also, keep in mind, dear brethren, that all of the times shown on the convention program are Eastern Daylight Savings Time. The start time each day will be 11 a.m., as we did this morning, Eastern Time, and the services each day will end around 8 to 8:15 Eastern Time, depending on the day. Now, although the program is, if you have viewed it or will view it, contains a complete outline of our activities over the next 5 days, we'd like to summarize them here. As you no doubt have already noted, each day we'll have a live chairman and a backup chairman, and we've already utilized both of those this morning. Brother Michael Balco is our chairman today, and Brother Brian Montague is our backup chairman. Brother Brian will also be leading our testimony meeting this afternoon. The chairman each morning will read the morning resolve, the daily manna, and also read a selected passage from the Psalms as part of our devotions, which we trust will help get our minds in the proper focus for the day. The chairman will also offer a prayer each morning on all the day's services, and the chairman will throughout the day be calling for the hymns and introduce and close all of our services. Each evening, the chairman will read the songs in the night and close our day's activities with prayer. Now, one little difference you'll notice is that due to some of the logistical challenges of a five-day broadcast as opposed to being in person, we will only have prayers offered once in the morning and once in the evening at the end of the day. However, the many hymns that will be broadcast, all of which will be accompanied with recorded singing by brethren, will be a means of praise and prayer to our Heavenly Father throughout each day. Now, as we alluded to, there will be live testimony meetings each day, starting this afternoon, in which all of you can participate, or as many as we have time for, and which will be led by selected brethren. As we said, Brother Brian Montague will lead today's testimony meeting. Each of those will begin at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and will run for about 45 minutes. We encourage you to participate in the testimony meetings, but as always, to follow the normal guidelines of keeping your testimonies short so that others have the opportunity. Keep your testimonies of a personal nature. And if you have already testified once during the 5 days, we ask that you defer to others and not take a second turn, unless we have time to do so later on in the week. There will be, as you can see, obviously, a live welcome address. And on Wednesday evening, there will be a live closing discourse, which will be given by Brother Byron Keith from Seattle. I think the most important live feature during the next 5 days are going to be the mini intermission and fellowship periods. You know, each day is going to include 4 45-minute intermissions and 1 hour-long intermission. And, you know, right now we have close to 200 connections. And that number will likely fluctuate up and down some during the course of the next 5 days. And so in order to help provide an opportunity for a little more intimate fellowship in a smaller group setting, each of us toward the beginning of each intermission will be randomly placed in a breakout room, with each room having approximately to 20 to 25 brethren included. At any time during the intermission, you have the option of leaving the breakout room and returning to the main meeting room. And at the end of each intermission, everyone will be brought back to the main room in time to start the next service. And since the breakout rooms are assigned randomly, you will generally be in a room with a different group of brethren during each intermission, which will allow you to fellowship and mingle with different brethren throughout the course of the 5 days. And for additional fellowship without breakout rooms, you can access the broadcast ahead of time in the morning, and you can stay on in the evening after the services are over if you want some additional fellowship. Now, other parts of our 5-day program will include a selection of video recordings, some of them being PowerPoints, of General Convention services during the past 5 years, as we mentioned. You know, our ECHOES convention does not include a theme text. It actually, though, includes 5. Each day at 12:45 in the afternoon, will feature a theme text discourses from one of the past 5 years. For example, at 12:45 today, we will see and hear the theme discourse from the 2014 General Convention given by our very dear and beloved Brother Tim Thomason. It will be just as if you are sitting in the front row of the auditorium at Johnstown watching and listening to Brother Tim. Tomorrow also, and every day through Wednesday at the same time, we will see and hear other theme text discourses given in recent years. And those are all listed and shown on the convention program, the texts and the brethren who will be giving those. I don't think you will want to miss any of them. Each day we will also see and hear numerous other discourses given over the past 6 years by brethren who have served at the General Convention. And these will be on a wide variety of subjects. There will be 2 3-part symposiums, one this evening from 2018 and the other on Tuesday evening from the 2015 convention. On Monday evening, there will be a very interesting panel discussion from the 2015 convention, which will consider the book of Hebrews from the standpoint of how it points to the superiority of Jesus to angels, to Moses, to Aaron, and to the typical sacrifices of the law. The program also includes 3 2-person dialogues, which we on the committee affectionately call fireside chats. These dialogues will be tomorrow and on Tuesday and on Wednesday. Tomorrow's will be taken from last year's convention, and Tuesdays and Wednesdays will both be taken from the 2016 convention. Now, for any of you that are not familiar with this format, 2 brethren converse together as if sitting in their living room, but we get to listen in to their conversation. They will converse on a Bible subject that is near and dear to their hearts. So these dialogue conversations, I believe, you will find very stimulating and interesting. Tomorrow evening, Sunday, there will be a special audio and PowerPoint presentation of Brother Woodworth's classic discourse, This Thing Is From Me. And although many of you, like me, have seen and heard this talk in the past, it is always a blessing to hear it again. And to those of you who perhaps have not seen or heard it, well, you're definitely in for a treat, I believe. Music will also be a part of our Echoes program. Tomorrow evening, immediately following Brother Woodworth's service, we will have a Vesper service from the 2018 General Convention. And on Wednesday evening, immediately following Brother Keith's closing discourse, we will see and hear the Melodies of Praise service from 2018. You know, each year, the Melodies of Praise is the final service of the General Convention. And so it will be again this year. The Lord will provide that. And as already mentioned, throughout each day, we will have recorded hymns from our hymn book at the beginning and the end of each service. The music will include singing by various groups of brethren who have been recorded over the years. In fact, some of you will be on these recordings, whether you realize it or not. The words to these hymns will also appear on your screen, and we invite you to sing along with the recordings to your heart's content. Now, with any convention, whether it's in person or online, especially a five-day gathering such as this, and as we have already seen, there can be a glitch or two. And, you know, those things can happen. And with an electronic format such as this, sometimes they can happen without warning. But we do have numerous technical experts. We call them Zoom hosts, Zoom co-hosts, who will be continuously monitoring all aspects of the broadcast. And they will keep us abreast of any issues. And if there are problems, they will work, just as they have already done this morning, to rectify them as quickly as possible. And so we ask that you be patient, that you be considerate, and to keep that in mind. You know, we also ask that during the entire broadcast of the next 5 days, that you follow all of the verbal instructions from the daily chairman, or from the testimony leaders, or from the Zoom hosts or co-hosts, including various instructions which will just magically appear on your screen from time to time. Read those and follow what they say. I'll just mention two very general instructions, but they are very important ones. First, other than during fellowship time, you should always have your microphone muted. And two, except during fellowship time, you should turn off your video. Now, this obviously does not apply to the chairman or to a live speaker or testimony leader, but for all the rest of us, we should have our microphones muted and our video off except during fellowship time. And if there's any other special instructions regarding the testimony meetings, those will be given at the 4 o'clock hour. You know, we should all conduct ourselves in an orderly and reverential manner, just as we would if we were entering and sitting in the auditorium at Johnstown or at the Pittman Center in Moscow. In an online broadcast, just as if we were in person, we should always remember that we are entering the house of the Lord. Although now is just the start of our five-day gathering, the committee would like to express its thanks in advance to the many brethren who are making this broadcast possible. First, we want to thank the 10 brethren who will be our live chairman and backup chairman and testimony leaders each day. You know, they have to be on their toes continually for all 9 hours of each day's broadcast. We also want to thank those who have labored over the past several weeks to get many of the recorded files in the required format for use in this broadcast, and those who have been editing and organizing these files to help achieve a smooth running program. It has been a lot of tedious work that a number of brethren have been engaged in. And finally, we want to offer tremendous thanks in advance to our Zoom hosting crew. And although they are going to be mostly invisible to us, they are there in the background, believe me, keeping this broadcast on the air. Without them, this Echoes Convention would not be possible. Dear brethren, we truly hope, and it is our prayer, that the next 5 days will provide blessings to each one of us as we mingle together in fellowship, in testimony, in meditation, in songs of praise to our Heavenly Father, and as we hear His Word presented to us. We encourage you to tune in to as much of this broadcast as you are able, realizing that some have to work at various times or perhaps have other responsibilities which will intervene. Join the broadcast as your schedule permits. We're not going to be taking attendance, and you know none of you will be conspicuous by walking into the online auditorium. And although various announcements have gone out, if there are any brethren in your area that may not be aware of this broadcast, pick up the phone during an intermission and give them a call. Everyone is welcome. We've actually here in Orlando canceled our local meetings for this upcoming 5-day period so that as many as possible can tune in. You know, as we so often put on our convention programs, everyone who believes in the ransom for all are welcome to be with us. In these days of great uncertainty, perplexity, and perhaps at times anxiety, we can often be encouraged, and we should be encouraged, by the many examples of faith that we find in the scriptures. One such great example was Job. In the midst of his very severe trial, and after receiving little, if anything, in the way of comfort for his three supposed friends, Job began to see the awe-inspiring breadth and depth of God's great attributes of wisdom, justice, love, and power. And as recorded in Job chapter 23, which we're going to read some selected verses of as we close our remarks, he pours out his very personal testimony to the greatness of the Heavenly Father's guiding hand in his life. Reading verses 8 through 14 of chapter 23 from the English Standard Version, Job utters these words about his God. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I do not perceive him. On the left hand, when he is working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I do not see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. He is unchangeable. And who can turn him back? What he desires, that he does. He will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things as are in his mind. Once again, dear brethren, welcome to this 2020 General Convention Echoes broadcast. And let us remember, the Lord provides. Let us then be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Amen.